Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this camp meeting that you have commissioned for us, and we thank you for all the preparation that's been made. We expect to have an outpouring of your Spirit, a great blessing each day. We ask that your Spirit move souls to join with us and receive the blessing that we share together. All of heaven is attending and interested in our every word. And so as we now open this meeting, we ask that you guide and direct all proceedings according to your will in Yahshua's name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Well, God bless everyone, and welcome to our first meeting of the spring camp meeting, the CSDA Church of 2021. So during this camp meeting, we have a theme of subjects that Seventh-day Adventists often misunderstand or do not understand. And we have quite a list that's compiled of subjects that will be going over this camp meeting, for which our members and visitors and those studying with us have volunteered to present a series of presentations. So every meeting, we're going to have about a 15-minute or so presentation of the subject, and then the remaining hour and 45 minutes or so, we'll go into some discussion, any questions, and hopefully have some good fellowship out of that. So this morning, our first presentation is first in order of importance. We'll be looking at the faith and testimony of Yahshua, and that will be presented by sisters Barbara and Ruthlyn. So I will be turning the floor over to them, and when that presentation is finished, we'll go back to moderation and discussion. Sisters, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Brother Luke. So first, we're going to begin with the faith of Yahshua. We read about it in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 12. In the King James Version, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yah and the faith of Yahshua." Into one of two things. Either it's referring to his faith, meaning his religion, or it's referring to faith in Jesus instead of Jesus, which really means believing in him. Of course, those things are important, but Revelation 14:12 specifically says the faith of Yahshua, referring to the faith that he lived by when he was on the earth. And more than that, it refers to the faith that he lives by today through his people. So the saints spoken of in Revelation 14:12 have Yahshua's own faith. Before I became a Creation Seventh-day Adventist, I was a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I met Pastor Chick at a non-conference camp meeting, and he shared with me some very good news. And that news, good news, was that I could have victory over all known sin now, that I could have that victory always, and that I could have that victory immediately. At that time, that concept was difficult for me to grasp. But when I came to understand what the faith of Yahshua is, that Christ lives in me by his faith, and so I'm living by his faith, and I learned what his faith is, I gained the victory. So living by the faith of Yahshua is extremely important. Another verse that speaks to about the faith of Yahshua is Galatians 2:20. In the King James Version, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So it's important to note two things here. First, the old man is dead, and it's Christ now living in me. And second, I'm now living by the faith of the Son of God, who's Yahshua. There are many examples in the Bible of the faith that Yahshua lived by and that he lives by in us today. First verse is in John chapter 8, verse 29. Okay, Yahshua said, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." So this was Yahshua's faith, and therefore it was his experience that he always does what pleases his Father. Yahshua never accepted the possibility that he would commit sin or displease his Father. Instead, he believed Yah's promises, and they were true for him. "I have set Yahweh always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved." He believed he would never be moved from his relationship with his Father or from pleasing him, and so do we. In Psalms 121:7 is another example. It says, "I will preserve you from all evil." He knew he would be preserved, and he was. We also know we will be preserved, and we are. And I have one more in Isaiah 41, verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." We have read in the scriptures how Yahshua was strengthened, helped, and upheld. It was his experience, and it's ours as well. Okay, I'm going to give the floor to Ruthlyn now to share what she has.
So I will be sharing the notes that I've made speaking about the faith of Yahshua. I believe that the faith of Yahshua and the acceptance thereof is the beginning of life, of the life of a converted Christian. Once this is claimed and lived out in life, everything else will fall into place and make sense. I had thought for the longest time that it was impossible to give up bad habits and experience the faith of Yahshua. I had tried for years to do it in my own strength, but that proved very faulty. Once I accepted Yahshua to do his will within me, it was no longer a burden for me to wrestle with. I would also like to note that the verses taken from the New Testament were written as someone else's testimony. However, they are according to what Yahshua believed and lived according to. So it is his faith and the faith we live by. Okay, I will now share my verses along with a few short quotes from Finally Out of Darkness, the chapter which is titled The Faith of Yahshua. 1 John 5:4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." God's word has creative power, and when it's believed upon, has power to transform. Yahshua's faith in the word caused it to be true in his life. Okay, next, it will be Psalm 66:8-9. "O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved." Next, it will be Psalms 119:112. "I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." And next, we'll look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." Yahshua always depended upon the Father to give him a way of escape whenever he was faced with temptation. By saying this, one is not saying that he is sinless. "In spite of my sinfulness, God has been faithful. And as he has promised, he has been providing a way of escape with every temptation." when it says that in spite of my sinfulness, it means that in spite of my sinful nature and tendencies, that my faith is the same as Yahshua's. Our Father will also give us a way of escape just like Yahshua had. Okay, now we'll look at 2 Timothy 4:18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Romans 4:20-22. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith and giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. All right, that's all I have for now. I will hand it back over to Sister Barb.
Thank you, Ruthlyn. Now we will continue with the testimony of Yahshua, which is very closely related to his faith. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is similar to Revelation 14, 12, but it says testimony of Jesus Christ instead of the faith of Jesus. In my experience, I found that many Seventh-day Adventists think that the testimony of Jesus is referring to the spirit of prophecy or the writings of Ellen G. White. But his testimony is also everything he testified to about himself, the words he spoke while he was on the earth. Those words were a result of his faith. In the same way that Yahshua lives his faith through us, he also speaks his testimony through us. So let's look at some examples of his testimony. And some of the verses that we've already used for representing his faith are also where he was giving his testimony. And one of those is John chapter 8, verse 29. Where Yahshua said, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. He set his mind that he would always please his Father. It was his faith, and therefore it was his experience. Another one is in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 30. He said, I and my Father are one. We know that Yahshua is one with his Father. And because Yahshua is in us, and we are one with Yahshua, we are also one with our Father. So that is also our testimony. When we're ministering to others, there are other testimonies that we can give. An example is in Matthew 9, verse 29. Yahshua said, according to your faith, be it unto you. In Luke chapter 7, verse 5, he said, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. And then I'll go back to another one in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now I'll hand it back to Ruthlyn.
Thank you. All right, so we'll start with 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And John 11:41-42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Yahshua lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, and that they may believe that thou hast sent me. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then John 14:27, which says, peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:10, which says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. The Father dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And I will hand it back to Sister Barb.
In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 4, it was spoken of Yahshua, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. Because this was spoken of him, his testimony and his faith was, I shall not fail nor be discouraged. So here I want to talk about another aspect of the testimony of Yahshua. I've known some people who would hesitate to give that testimony because they either find themselves being discouraged or believe that they could become discouraged. So it's important to understand that there's a difference between what we feel and what reality is. Because we know that Yahshua is not discouraged because that's his testimony. So if we get a feeling of being discouraged, we need to recognize that's just a feeling or a temptation. But Yahshua in us is not discouraged, so we are not discouraged. So our testimony is the same as Yahshua's, I shall not fail nor be discouraged. If someone's tempted to think they're a failure, the remedy is to remember the testimony of Yahshua. He in you does not fail, so you are not a failure. Ruthlin mentioned the power of the word in connection with the faith of Yahshua. There is power in the word. Our words create. When we hear the words we speak, they create the things spoken. So for example, if I say, I am discouraged, I hear those words and I feel more discouraged. But when I say, I shall not fail nor be discouraged, then that feeling is overcome. But to say, I am discouraged would be a false testimony. Because the testimony of Yahshua in us is that we will not be discouraged. Since we love Yahshua and want to represent him accurately, it's important to only speak what Yahshua would speak and only say about ourselves what Yahshua would say about himself, giving a true testimony of Yahshua. Okay, we'll give it back over to Brother Luke for moderation now.
All right. Thank you, sisters, for that presentation. And I suspect 15 minutes is a bit of a tight timeline to try and fit two very thorough topics into. Thankfully, we have some time here for some unpacking of the topics and discussion and questions. So with that, I'll open it up and ask if there's anyone with any feedback or anything to initiate the conversation on what we've been presented by sisters Barbara and Ruthlin this morning. I had a couple of notes about a couple of points that I suppose we could start talking about. One of them was a statement about sinful nature and tendency to evil. Now that one caught my eye a bit because I remember there's a statement by Mrs. White and perhaps a few about being cleansed from our hereditary and cultivated tendencies towards evil. So I think this thing about nature can be a tricky one. We talk about sinful nature and divine nature and all this stuff. So maybe I'll pose the question for some discussion. Does the Christian have a sinful nature? Now, I heard another word in there that can be kind of a hot-button one for definitions, and that was propensity. Now, I'm coming back around to these terms because these are all some terms that, especially among Adventism, have some very particular potential meanings. Propensity, proclivity, tendency, nature. Yeah, these things all describe varying shades of whether it implies the person is inclined to do the thing, whether the person does the thing. And if we're not quite right on how we phrase this, it can give the impression that we're speaking about still having a sinful nature that influences the actions, if that makes sense. Even in English, these are a little difficult of words to fully categorize. As we talk about, like, sinful nature, for example, and as Sister Giselle mentioned, we do have sinful flesh, which will tempt us to sin. We will have the physical pull to it. But that does not translate into walking after the flesh, into doing the thing, into letting it influence or have control or power over anything to do with us. This can get a little bit into faith versus theology. Theoretically, Yahshua could have sinned. He had the capability to make that decision. But his faith was not that he could commit sin. His faith was that he could not, therefore he did not. I saw a hand from Pastor there. Please go ahead.
Right. And this thing about theology is always where people like to go. And then they get into debates and start getting into word wars and meanings of words and things like that. Could we be accurate to say, well, it's true, we are sinners saved by grace, but we are no longer sinners. So could we say we have a subdued sinful nature because we have partaken of the divine nature?
A subdued sinful nature, that's accurate to me when I think about it. Whether that would pass all the theological scrutiny of what that means or could mean, I guess it's as much anybody's guess as anything else. Sister Jody, go ahead.
Subdued reminds me of 1 Corinthians 9:27, where Paul said, I'll do 26 as well. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So that keeping his body under and bringing it into subjection, to me, is the same as that sinful nature being subdued.
Pastor, go ahead. Actually, we have a visitor there as well. Welcome.
I was actually thinking about that scripture. Where Paul said what he said there, which gave me the word subdued. In terms of theologically, our eternal life will always be conditional. If we do not eat from the tree of life, we would perish. And actually, throughout eternity, our life is sustained by faith, yeah, just as it is now. because righteousness is by faith. It's not going to change in heaven. Throughout eternity, there would be the potential, the same potential that Christ had to commit sin, though there would not be the promptings of the flesh because we receive a glorified body. Okay. However, Lucifer did not have sinful flesh, and yet he turned against Yahweh's love. Now, our situation, having been burned by the fire of sin, we have learned our lesson, so we would not go back. I'll turn it back over to the moderator.
All right. Did I see a hand from Sister Jody there, or was that? Okay, go ahead.
A verse came to mind. I believe it's Nahum 1:9, where Yahweh proclaims that affliction shall not rise up a second time. And I'm wondering, and I believe that that has to do with the fact, as Pastor said, we've been burned by sin. We've overcome sin in the flesh, and we've chosen to remain in that new birth experience. So, would that be why sin doesn't rise up a second time? Or in combination with that, that Yahweh is speaking that word so that once this earth is finished, it's not going to happen because of our choice and because of what he said.
Well, I think those are fundamentally the same thing in what we're talking about, that Yahweh says it and we cooperate with it. And why would we not cooperate with it? So therefore, it kind of becomes almost self-fulfilling. Yahweh says it, we agree with it, therefore we fulfill it, and why would we ever not fulfill it? And this kind of comes all the way back around to 1 John 3:9. Just the same way it says affliction won't arise a second time, it says whoever is born of God does not commit sin and cannot commit sin. That cannot, in my mind, is exactly the same as affliction never rising the second time. That's Yahweh saying this is how it is, and then, you know, everyone in the world didn't immediately stop being a sinner. Free will still gives us the opportunity to agree with Yahweh or disagree with Yahweh. Eventually, it's only going to be those who agree with Yahweh. That's how it never arises the second time. Pastor, go ahead.
I had a beloved friend, and reminds me of something he said. One time, he said, "I don't trust myself not to sin." This whole thing about being tempted to think there's a temptation that could overcome you is something that the faith of Yahshua overcomes when we rightly understand it. But we have to understand it through the eyes of faith, not through the eyes of the flesh. I yield back.
Sister Jody, go ahead.
I just wanted to read a short quote on Nahum 1:9. And this is from Great Controversy, page 504:1. It says, "The whole universe will have become witnesses to the nature and results of sin, and its utter extermination, which in the beginning would have brought fear to angels and dishonor to God, will now vindicate his love and establish his honor before the universe of beings who delight to do his will and in whose heart is his law. Never will evil again be manifest, says the word of God. Affliction shall not rise up the second time, Nahum 1:9. The law of God, which Satan has reproached as the yoke of bondage, will be honored as the law of liberty. A tested and proved creation will never again be turned from allegiance to him whose character has been fully manifested before them as fathomless love and infinite wisdom.
All right, so are there any further thoughts or discussion for this morning's session? Sister Giselle, go ahead.
Well, about the testimony, that's one of the main things that Christians are afraid to say because they don't trust in themselves, but I think that the thing should be to trust in Yahweh, to trust in Yahshua. He is the one that doesn't make them fall, doesn't make us fall in everything, in any complication that we may experience or any challenge that we need to overcome. In every little thing of sanctification, just by speaking the words that he spoke, we become like him as well.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. I think what Giselle mentions there about people not trusting themselves in terms of the victory message, that is a common thing that keeps people back from it. What's interesting to me is that really the problem is that they're not distrusting themselves enough. The victory isn't believing that we get the ability to suddenly overcome. It's acknowledging that we cannot overcome. Ceasing the effort of trying and struggling and just accepting that Yahshua is the one who must do this work. Accepting him into the heart, letting him do that, and accepting his word when he says he will do that. Amen. There's a quote from Mrs. White that talks about letting your lips declare that you have gained the victory. And I think that kind of interweaves well with the testimony of Yahshua portion of the discussion. Sister Jody, did you have something to add there? Go ahead.
Yeah, and there's also, well, there's many, but there's also the one that we are to speak and act as though our faith were invincible, because it is invincible, because it is the faith of Yahshua.
Right, and that's an important thing to emphasize, I think, the faith of Yahshua. People, even the apostles, were looking at their own faith. Lord, increase our faith. Do we have enough faith? Do we have sufficient faith? Do we have insufficient faith? How is my faith? Is my faith strong? Is it weak? Is it wavering? It's always is my faith. What faith do I or you or any individual have that's worth anything? If human faith could accomplish anything, it would have. But it cannot. Yahshua's faith is the one that saves, that succeeds, that does anything worth doing. If there's human faith, if we're relying on our faith, then yeah, just like relying on self to overcome sin, there's going to be failure. But Yahshua does not fail. The faith of Yahshua does not fail. And so the life of Yahshua through that faith does not fail, and we do not fail. Giselle, go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes people think about faith like from a scale to 1 to 10, how much faith you have, 7, 6, 5, when in reality the Bible says that we receive the full measure of Christ, the faith that he had, the full measure, and he didn't have either levels or graduations. He was just full, 100%.
Yeah, it's like Yeshua says, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, the smallest amount, it's a binary thing. It's on or off. It's yes or no. Either have Yeshua's faith or you don't have faith. Pastor, go ahead.
I was thinking several thoughts at one time. What was it that I wanted to say? I was reading from Spirit of Prophecy. And it was that portion where the saints will be working miracles. Actually, it says raising people from the dead, healing the sick, you know, all the kinds of things that you would see in the apostolic church. And she says, these words will be literally fulfilled. Now, I perceive how that can be done. And the only way it can be done is when the church receives the power of the latter rain, such that they believe implicitly what was taught here today about the faith of Yahshua and his testimony. We cannot work the miracles of God while we see ourselves in the equation. Peter could not walk on water when he saw himself in the equation. When Christ was the only part of the equation, he was walking on water. Once he saw himself as having some role in that activity, he sunk. You see, that's not the testimony of Christ. So when we choose to step into Christ's life or allow his life to step into us totally, and we see ourselves as Christ living in us, then unity is just automatic, because Christ cannot be against Christ. Now, Christ in me looks different from Christ in Barbara, or Christ in Luke, or Christ in Arletty, and it's etc. Because we have individuality. So that perplexes people. Why do I believe something differently from Luke? Because I'm an individual. Christ allows us our individuality while living in us. So our spirits are connected with divine power. It's like super glue. The Holy Spirit is Christian super glue. I'm going to have to put that on Facebook. Super glue. The Christian super glue is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Don't let me forget that one. So we are bound together by the super glue, but we do our part in the family as individuals. And that agrees with Paul's description of the church, doesn't it? We are individual members and one body. We are one house built of spiritual stones. It all fits perfectly. And those stones are the mortar, the glue, the super glue that holds those stones together is the Holy Spirit, which is the unity of the Father and the Son.
I am reminded of a quote from Sister White on the topic of testimony. I'm just looking that up at the moment.
El hermano Luke está buscando una cita de Elena y White en cuanto al testimonio.
Apparently it's too long for me to paste into the chat in one block. This is from Steps to Christ. It goes over a few pages, but it starts on 49. We'll just kind of truncate it a little bit. This is written, it's Steps to Christ, so it's largely written for people in the world, people who have not yet come to Yahshua. But this goes through the step-by-step of how to do so in a way that I think, in line with our theme, many Adventists have not quite grasped. So she begins, "In like manner, you are a sinner." Again, this is speaking to people who have not come to Christ. "You cannot atone for your past sins. You cannot change your heart and make yourself holy. But God promises to do all this for you through Christ. You believe that promise. You confess your sins and give yourself to God. You will to serve him. Just as surely as you do this, God will fulfill his word to you. If you believe the promise, believe that you are forgiven and cleansed. God supplies the fact. You are made whole, just as Christ gave the paralytic power to walk when the man believed that he was healed. It is so if you believe it." And she continues, and I don't have a way to put emphasis into Zoom, so I'll just have to point out where it was. But she says, "Do not wait to feel that you are made whole." And she emphasizes the word feel. It's italics in the writing originally. "Do not wait to feel that you are made whole, but say." Now, this is where testimony starts to come in. It doesn't just say, just think this. But say, "I believe it. It is so. Not because I feel it, but because God promised." She concludes it, "Jesus says, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. There is a condition to this promise, that we pray according to the will of God. But it is the will of God to cleanse us from sin, to make us his children, and to enable us to live a holy life. So we may ask for these blessings and believe that we receive them," and here again, the important part, "and thank God that we have received them." Not even that we will receive them, or that we are receiving them, but we have received them in the asking of it. It is our privilege to go to Jesus and to be cleansed, and to stand before the law without shame or remorse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I think that part, "but it is the will of God to cleanse us from sin," that shouldn't really need to be emphasized, but I find at times it does. The promise is we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And there's often an excuse made, "oh, well, all things, except," or "all things according to God's will." Just one thing that is God's will, it's keeping us and cleansing us from sin. I see a hand there from Pastor. Go ahead.
When the gospel messenger came to my house, 19 whatever it was, more than 30 years ago, I think it was about 1988 or 87, somewhere in that area. He brought me the message of the faith of Jesus. That was the gospel message. And after about 12 hours, of him presenting this beautiful message to me. Of course, I loved it from the beginning. I was just all ears. I didn't get sleepy. I didn't get tired. It was like fresh water quenching my thirst. And at the conclusion, he asked, would you like to have the faith of Jesus? I didn't hesitate. I was ready to interrupt him and say, I want it, even before he asked. This was the answer to all my troubles. And so he told me, when you pray, ask for the faith of Yahshua. Ask for the faith of Jesus. Believe that you have received the faith of Yahshua. And claim it as your own. And then thank him for giving it to you. Thank him that you have received it. And when you get up from your knees, never doubt it. And he said to me, as long as you never doubt it, it will always be true. Just as the oak tree is in the acorn, the gift is in the promise. And so, when I've been corrected by Yahweh or one of his servants, I've been tempted to doubt. I've been sorely tempted to doubt that I had the faith of Yahshua. Because if I had the faith of Yahshua, I wouldn't need to be corrected, right? That's the logical way of thinking. But correction comes as a schoolmaster to help you understand the faith you have. It doesn't negate the faith. It enhances the faith. It builds upon the faith because our understanding of the faith is limited by our individual experience and what we know about it. It doesn't change anything about whether we have it. We have the full amount of his faith because we believe it. So don't ever fear correction. Correction just explains his faith in a more clear way. And once you understand that part of his faith, you walk in it. You walk in it without stumbling. I yield back.
I see hands from sisters Jody and Giselle. I'm wondering, Giselle, is this a comment or a translation?
A comment.
Okay, so we'll go to Sister Jody first, and then we'll go to Sister Giselle.
And just to add on to what Pastor was saying about correction, yes, it explains our faith, and also Yahshua has told us a father corrects his children whom he loveth. And so it shows his love for us as well to correct us so that we can lead more perfect, sanctified lives. And I used to, just a personal testimony, used to feel when I was corrected that it was not a good thing, or I hadn't learned enough or I should have already known whatever it was I was being corrected about. And I've learned in fellowship with this church what the true purpose of correction is, and I no longer feel that way. I'm thankful now and grateful. And
all right, thank you for that testimony.
One of those things that are in that scripture about the healing, the saints will do healings and miraculous things. One of them is speaking with new tongues. It's often meant in the Bible that speaking with new tongues would be speaking in tongues like different languages. But, and the Pentecostals and those that speak in tongues, that it's inspired by demons, of course, but they say they're speaking a heavenly language. So there is a heavenly language, and that is the testimony of Christ. That is a heavenly language. And so, as Cecile said, we're learning a new language. We're learning to speak a new language. So that in itself is a miracle, to be able to speak the language of Christ is a miraculous experience. To be sitting here in sinful flesh and remembering where I came from. I have not forgotten where I came from. I remember, unfortunately, I remember all of what I did in my past life, in my old man. It's not a pretty picture. I don't let Satan put it in my face because I couldn't bear it. I claim the promise that my sins have been buried in the deepest sea. They've been removed from me as far as the east is from the west. I no longer have to deal with those. So when I can say, I do always those things that please my Father. Now someone might look at me and say, you're not pleasing your Father. Look, you're doing this or you're doing that. Well, you see, they're not sitting in my shoes. They're not standing in my shoes or sitting in my seat. I'm speaking by faith. Now, if a person tells me I'm a hypocrite, I'm not living the faith of Jesus, then I'm gonna ask them the same question Jesus asked. Remember when he asked, "What have I done to deserve this?" Right? Or he says, "The prince of evil comes, but he has no part with me." Yes, my ears are going to be open. My ears are going to be open if someone brings criticism or correction. I have to listen. Even if a donkey or a dog or some unusual situation happen, I have to listen. I have to analyze it. I have to pray about it. But when the children of Yahweh bring correction to each other, they bring it not to break up the super glue. They bring it to strengthen the glue. They bring it to help us understand a higher level of righteousness. And they bring it with enough evidence to be convincing. It would be a cult leader that would come to you and say, you need to do A, B, C, D without any explanation. That would just be absurd. We don't do that to each other. It's not our character. So we have in our midst young believers and older believers. And as I've exampled in the past, Ellen White's impressive dream saw the Advent people on a narrow path headed for the holy city. And along the way, they had to, you know, they had to get rid of their wagons, and then they had to get rid of their luggage. And you remember that story or that dream. Eventually they had to take off their shoes. Then they had to take off their socks. And the path was a little rough. Their feet started bleeding. And it got so narrow, there was a green rope that came down. And that green rope was what? Does anybody remember what the green rope stood for? I think Giselle. I think you lifted your hand first.
I think it was the symbol of faith.
It was actually the faith of Yahshua. So that's how we know where we are on the path. The faith of Yahshua, the green cord has already been let down. You see, in Ella White's day, the pioneers did not understand this very well. Jones and Wagner were right on, they were pretty much on the doctrinal side of it. They put it in, you know, lessons on faith. Those messages they gave us were really, really, really good. Maybe not fully complete, but the green cord was ready to come down. It was actually trying to come down. It's like the latter rain. When the latter rain, I think Ella White said something about the latter rain coming, and then the angel took its flight. So it was like the green cord came down, but nobody wanted to grab it, so it was useless. Yahweh is not going to give us something we don't use, right?
We don't need.
Mm-hmm. So when the CSDA message started developing, the green cord started coming down, and then some of us grabbed a hold of it. And if anybody's grabbing a hold of the green cord, Yah's not going to jerk it out of there. If we'll use it, he'll leave it to help us. So make sure you're clinging to the green rope. Just make sure you're clinging to the green rope. And remember, we're super glued to that green rope, and we're all super glued together to that green rope. And nothing can by any means harm us. Nothing can separate us from the green rope. Now, we don't have to say, I'm connected to, I'm in Christian unity with Brother Luke, and I'll never leave Brother Luke. Well, you know, that's putting human elements into the mix. When Brother Luke is super glued to the green rope and I'm super glued to the green rope, how could we ever be separated? Because Christ is our unity.
Amen.
Right? It's not because Luke is such a good Christian or I'm such a good pastor or whatever. That's not why we're cemented together. Not because of our doctrine, because we're cemented to the green rope. And that's what we teach in our church. And as long as we don't turn loose of the green rope, we have freedom. But we don't choose to ever let go because we are super glued by the Holy Spirit. I hope we will take that with us from this meeting. The super glue that binds us.
Might be new words to a hymn. All right, well, if there are no further comments for this meeting, we will adjourn. We'll be coming back at 3 o'clock Pacific time. I believe that's about 4.5 hours from now, for a meeting on the Sabbath more fully. So I will ask for Pastor to offer the closing prayer, and then we will meet for the evening.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this first convocation that we've had together during this camp meeting. We are blessed by the presentation that was given and the discussion that followed. I pray, Father, that there will be some who benefit from the recording. And if possible, that we could upload a edited version for a YouTube channel. It would also be a great blessing to others who may stumble on or be led by the Holy Spirit there. Thank you that Ruthlyn has taken part in this work, and thank you for Sister Barbara working with her on that and giving us such a appropriate and clear presentation of the faith of Yahshua and his testimony. Prepare me for the coming meeting and prepare all of us to do our part as we pray that others will come to visit. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. Dismiss us with your loving care according to your purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.